Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are getting close to the end of our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the chapter on the doctrine of the resurrection of bodies from the grave, the body of Christ first, which has already occurred, and then the bodies of believers at the second coming of Christ, a doctrine which is denied by some in the Corinthian church, which is why Paul is addressing it in this almost closing chapter of his 1 Corinthian epistle. He's still got one chapter to go. And why he is doing so emphatically, because it is such an important doctrine. This is not minor. This is major. The doctrine of the bodily resurrection of believers is an essential part of salvation. You destroy the whole doctrine of salvation when you deny the doctrine of resurrection. And so Paul is summarizing what he has taught in this chapter by answering a series of questions in the final verses of this chapter. The first of which we looked at on the broadcast yesterday, which is the question, why is a bodily resurrection necessary? And he answers that question in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. It's as simple as this. Bodily resurrection is necessary because our present bodies can't go to heaven. Our present bodies are corruptible and cannot go into that state of perfection and incorruption. And therefore, bodily resurrection is necessary because our present bodies cannot inherit heaven. And what is implied in that answer is because salvation involves the whole person, not just the soul, but also the body. The salvation which Christ secured upon the cross of Calvary redeems the whole man, body and soul. And we tend to think primarily, and in many cases almost exclusively, about the salvation of our soul. But that's only half of it. That's only half of our salvation. Our souls are saved and are immediately in the presence of the Lord upon death. But our bodies are also saved and will be fully and finally and completely redeemed at the second coming of Christ. And so that's why bodily resurrection is necessary. I pause to welcome you to this Thursday, June 30 edition of the Beacon Broadcast and ask you to consider helping us financially to maintain this broadcast on this station. All right, that's question number one answered, but what about question number two, and what is that? Does that mean that everyone must die? If bodily resurrection is necessary for salvation to be complete, then does that mean that everybody must die so that they can rise again, so that their salvation can be complete? And Paul answers that question in verse 51 when he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That answers the question. Is death necessary for resurrection? No. Now, a person might draw that conclusion. Earlier in the chapter, Paul said that the resurrection of the body is analogous to the sowing of a seed in the ground. It's got to decay and, in essence, die if it's going to push up new life. And likewise, our earthly bodies are going to have to die and decay if there's going to be new life, a new form of life, a new glorified life that will come out of that process. And so remembering the analogy of the seed and remembering the consequences of sin, sin destroys the body, but the bodily resurrection overcomes that destructive power of sin. Would it not then be logical to conclude that for this process to occur, for this process to include all believers, then evidently all believers must die? They've all got to go through this process. Dying, decaying, and then resurrected out of that grave. But no, we shall not all sleep, says Paul, back to verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We shall not all sleep. Sleep, of course, is a common New Testament term for the death of a believer. It's really, we call it death, and in one sense it is death, but it's more like sleep. Don't we all enjoy a good night's sleep? And those who can't seem to get a good night's sleep are poor because of it. It does affect us in so many ways. But we go to bed at night, and we go to sleep, and then we wake up. And we wake up refreshed. And that terminology, sleep, is applied to the death of a believer. He closes his eyes in death, and he wakes up on the other side in heaven. But that's the soul. But what about the body? Well, Paul tells us here that we shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. And that's a mystery. And a mystery is a truth that was not previously revealed, but now is being revealed by the Spirit of God, and a truth that cannot be known until it is revealed. We probably couldn't have figured this out apart from divine revelation. But not all believers will sleep. That is, not all will die. So we're answering the question, isn't death necessary for resurrection to occur? And Paul says, no, not all will sleep, but all will be changed. We could call that the resurrection of the living. We don't usually think of it in those terms. But there will be people alive when Jesus Christ returns. The vast majority of believers will have died. Their souls are already with the Lord in heaven. And the Lord comes back, and there are believers who are living at that time when he comes back. And the trumpet sounds, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, but then we who are alive, there will be some who do not sleep, who are alive and remain, who did not die, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Not all will sleep, but all will be changed. Those who are alive at the return of Christ and will go to heaven apart from dying and going into the grave and being resurrected from the grave, nevertheless, they still have to have the same change, the same transformation that those who died must have. Earthly bodies are not suitable for heaven. Earthly bodies can't go to heaven. So what happens? Well, those bodies are changed instantaneously. It's like they go through death and resurrection in a split second. So, is death necessary for resurrection to happen? No. Why? Back to verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And so then we come to a third question, which might be, how are the living prepared for heaven? If they don't have to die and be resurrected from the grave, the dead are prepared through resurrection, but how are the living prepared? And the answer is by a remarkable, divinely empowered transformation. And here it is in verses 52 and 53. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, those who are living at the time, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's the answer. How are the living prepared for heaven? Instantaneously, in a moment. The Greek word there is atmos, from which we get the word atom, which at one time was thought to be the smallest particle of created matter. Now we know that atoms are made up of even smaller particles, but it was thought at one time to be the smallest particle, an atom, and as the smallest particle was thought to be the element that could not be further divided, could not, that was as small as you could get. And therefore, when it's applied to time, it means in the shortest possible time. In a moment, the smallest, not even a second, it's a part of a second, a nanosecond. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, which more accurately is, and again this is literal and we wouldn't use this language, but the throwing of an eye, but it has the idea of a glance, or a sparkle, or a blink. Sometimes you will see a quick reflection of light off of a person's eye. Their eyes seem to sparkle. Well, that's the twinkling of an eye. And that's even quicker than a second. We know that a second is approximately this long, 1001. But the twinkling of an eye is a whole lot shorter than that. And so what Paul is saying is there will be an instantaneous transformation of living saints when Christ returns. Unlike the gradual transformation of the seed that goes into the ground and decays, and then a plant springs out of the seed and grows up out of the ground and continues to grow and mature and develop until finally it reaches its culmination. And in some ways, the death of the saints and their body going into the ground and slowly decaying is similar to that in some ways, though when the trumpet sounds, that transformed, glorified body is coming out of the grave in a second. But there is also the transformation of living bodies, and it doesn't require the death and decaying process, but it does require a complete transformation. And what we realize is that there are two different processes, one for the dead believers whose bodies are in the grave, and one for living believers who are alive when the Lord returns. There are two different groups involved and two different processes involved, but it's the same result. The dead are raised incorruptible, and the living shall also be changed. There's a different starting point, but there's the same ending point. The dead start from the grave, and they will be resurrected with glorified bodies. The living start from the ground, and they are instantaneously changed as they rise to meet the Lord in the air. And both groups, the believing dead and the believing living, arrive in the presence of the Lord with the same glorified, transformed bodies. So the process began at a different starting point for these two groups, but it ends at the same completion for both of them alike. The dead are raised incorruptible. The living are changed into incorruption. And both arrive in the presence of the Lord in these glorified eternal bodies. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. Until then, this is Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.